Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up in about 30 minutes live from Bridgestone Arena. But every Monday at 10:30, Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, joins the show. Hut, what's up?
Good morning. Great to be back on with you guys. Chase, hope everything is well. Michelle?
Yeah,
thank you. I'm feeling great this morning.
Yeah, look, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Her and Chad are in a little bit of a tiff right now, so we might have to step in at some point. You know, Kentucky fan over here, Tennessee fan with Chad. Okay. So.
Chad okay. chose war on Twitter this morning, Hutton. I would just like to inform you of that. He chose war.
It's not war. It's a tiff.
So does that mean that Chad's also going to come on the show today?
No, but it should happen. It might have to happen at some point. We might have to have me step in and, you know, have therapy here. But let's get into the Titans. Obviously not participating in Super Wild Card Weekend. We know that. We know that the GM interviews are underway. Offensive coordinator interviews are being requested. I said earlier, and I want to see if you agree with this, that the more I think about it and the more I read some of the tea leaves, I still think that it's going to be Cowden or Monty Austin Fort getting the GM job and they stay internal. And I think they're going to go outside for OC. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I mean, I can see it being an internal elevation, I guess, for the Titans. But it's just a guess because I don't know what specifically they're looking for in the next general manager. We have not been told that directly from ownership and those in the room who report to ownership. So let's start there. Externally for the OC, that also, I mean, knowing that they're reaching out to potentially talk with Bieniemy and Matt Nagy, with ties to the Kansas City Chiefs, tells me that they are definitely considering all options not named Tim Kelly.
Yep.
But Tim Kelly being elevated to play caller also makes total sense to me. I think both ways can easily be linked up. But Chase, this is this for offensive coordinator. Let's start there. It needs to be a hire that is capable of layering calls, you know, having defensive coordinators chase the next call instead of defending the next call. And I don't think that's happened here since Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator. So if Tim Kelly's that guy, he's that guy that Vrabel will trust. But also, I mean, bringing in Bieniemy or Nagy, who are trying to climb the ladder and be a head coach either for the first time or again, much like we've seen with the OCs here, two of the last three, and LaFleur and Smith, you know, pairing up with Vrabel's not a bad idea because you know that you're going to have a solid top 10-like defense. And I just don't buy the whole rebuild, tear it down mantra because there's no way this head coach buys into that line of thinking whatsoever. So I think it's a pretty safe bet that the OC would see that too. And from a general manager stance, you know, it's – I don't know why, if you're tired of the same old depth and the same evaluation process, that you just promote from within. But that's just me. And my guess is in these meetings, someone is going to come across the same way John Robinson did, who was coming from Tampa, that will make an excellent first impression, and they'll end up sticking with that person. That's what Amy said whenever John sat down across from them.
Yeah, well, and here's what I think, too. I think whoever Vrabel is the most comfortable with is who's going to get the job. It's not that, you know, yeah. Vrabel necessarily wants to have all of the power, but Amy's made it pretty clear that Vrabel's going to be a part of this process, and both of them are going to report to her, not Vrabel reporting to a GM. So I think if he goes through this process and, you know, they go through a second round of interviews that he's a part of, and he says, you know what, I really like working with Ryan. We've been on the same page with personnel moves. Let's just go with that. That's going to be the move she makes.
Yeah, and I also, you know, it's the collaboration is what you're hinting at there, and that makes total sense. I mean, you've got I don't think he's going to have the control that maybe we as a group, as a area whenever you're thinking that Robinson's out and Vrabel's in, excuse me, you think that he's taking full control. I don't see that. But what I do see is more of – and I think he was vocal behind the scenes anyway. Look, Chase, and you know this, Vrabel is not going to be someone that remains silent in a private meeting with the general manager.
No.
Even if he doesn't have full control. Even if he doesn't have personnel say. So with that in mind, he's going to be extremely opinionated. He's going to – you know, he adapts to the roster, which is something that the OC needs to do as well. And they have to be in lockstep. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You can't be a we're going to win the battle in the trenches type team and then be finesse and expect it to work from the front office for a head coach that's opposite you. So, yeah, I mean, I think it makes total sense that they collaborate. I don't think that Vrabel comes in and says, yeah, don't like this, we're doing this. I think it'll be more in the line of, okay, here's what we're thinking, here's what we need to do. General manager is personnel, and Vrabel's in charge of his staff and how they go about using that personnel.
We've got Jonathan Hutton on with us of Outkick 360. Jonathan, so this weekend, obviously, rumors came out of the Tennessee Titans requesting to interview an Eric Bieniemy, a Matt Nagy. If they do go that route with offensive coordinator and that Andy Reid-style offense, do you see a Derrick Henry being a part of this team next year?
Yes. Yeah, because you can't look at the Chiefs and think, oh, they look at this offense because they don't run the football. They have Patrick Mahomes. The Tennessee Titans do not. And they're not even close to having that type of player. He's not in the draft. He's not a free agent. And while you have Tannehill was good with a running back behind him and a play caller that excelled with play action that didn't tip plays and didn't come up with very predictable down and distances, so here's the play call type feel. The Chiefs also use their pass game, their short pass game, as an extension of their run, and they have tried to run it more. Mm-hmm. But with Mahomes, they just make up for it. You know, they've got the MVP, who's going to be the two-time MVP after this playoff run, who's passed for 5,000 yards and 41 touchdowns. So that all plays into why Kansas City's offense is viewed that way, and rightfully so. The new OC here, even if it is Bieniemy or Matt Nagy or anyone, they have to adapt to the personnel that they have. And right now, the easiest way to go about doing that and also just make sure that you're taking advantage of, you know, what's in the cupboard currently versus what you're going to add, which is going to be a lot more speed if they're going that direction. They one of the slowest offenses in the league, Michelle. You lean on the run game. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be Derrick Henry, but I do think they still will emphasize a run game. And that's what Vrabel has done since he became the head coach. That's what he emphasized with Arthur Smith. That's what he emphasized prior to Arthur with Matt LaFleur. That's what he emphasized currently, and that's what he will emphasize moving forward. I don't think that changes. And I also don't think it handcuffs them to where they can't be a modern NFL offense while also having that same mantra. Because in 2020, they rushed for 2,000 yards by an individual while also passing for 4,000 by an individual. They should have had two 1,000-yard wide receivers. Corey Davis missed a game towards the end of the season that year. He ended up with just about 900. And then they had two tight ends that flourished, including Jonnu Smith, who had 700 yards receiving. So, yeah, they can still throw the football and take advantage of defenses trying to load the box and still be a run first in the trenches, gut it out, punch you in the mouth type team that Vrabel will always continue to emphasize.
Well, and it's that time of year again with all of the Tom Brady rumors. Ian Rappaport came out with a report this weekend saying four teams that would be interested in Brady: Titans, Raiders, 49ers, and the Bucks, of course. What are your thoughts on this? And do you think it is a reality of any sorts in getting Tom Brady next season?
He's going to be 46 years old. 46!
Age doesn't matter with this guy.
I do not throw out any scenario with Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady respect Mike Vrabel the same way Vrabel respects them. Keep that in mind. They're not going to go play for some scrub coach. Also keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So the biggest surprise in all these reports, where are the Dolphins? Where are the Miami Dolphins for Tom Brady? It sounds like they're going back to Tua. Now, that can be window dressing, but the Dolphins were in heavy pursuit of Tom Brady a year ago to pair him with Sean Payton, and now no one's even mentioning them on these lists, which is a layup where you're like, oh, you just kind of glance over it because, yeah, we've heard that before, and they're not there. So it's more about what I haven't heard than what we're hearing. And, yeah, they're, Brady and Vrabel are always going to be linked up because of their history together. But it's, you know, for everyone saying burn down the facility and, you know, rebuild everything, I will present and blind carbon copy you on the email that I'll send out of the 2022 New York Football Giants, who were won four games a year ago. And I will also blind carbon copy you on the Tampa Bay Bucks prior to Tom Brady going there. Brady and Rodgers will bring people with them, and they will instantly make you a playoff caliber team battling for the postseason, even in their worst seasons at age 46 or in a disgruntled year where somehow Aaron Rodgers can't be happy even when making $50 million a season. But no, I don't throw it out because, again, in my realistic scenario, I don't think they can do better than Tannehill this offseason. In a future rebuild type scenario, retool, how do you keep your playoff opportunity open in this division while also trying to build around that foundation, rebuild that foundation where you bring in guys that do fit the overall culture? Well, you have guys that will help bridge that gap, and these two are more than just gap fillers. These guys are going to a spot where they can compete and win. I don't think the Titans are as high on that list as the other teams you mentioned by any means. Vegas to me makes total sense for either guy, but you know, you can find pairings anywhere. And the organization that lands one of the two, they will be, you know, conceding to bring in some other guys with them because that's what these guys will demand. And I don't blame them. And neither should the team because the team's going to improve.
You heard it here. Brady and Gronk to Nashville. That's what I just took from that.
Take a Kentucky victory lap for me today, Hutton.
Hey, it was a last stand feel, and the Wildcats got it done in what was a sloppy, ugly game, but they got a big win on the road in Knoxville, so congratulations to the Cats.
Take the L, Chad.
There you go. Jonathan Hutton with us from Outkick 360. Hutt, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, sounds good, guys. Thanks, always Hutton. Look forward to it. Have a good day.
You too. Outkick 360 weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. You can also hear Hutton on Wednesdays with Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace at noon. We will return, and you know, I'm gonna let Michelle take her victory lap for her Cats and talk a little college hoops. We'll do that next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.